This is Adam Wells' keynote speech from the 2023 Applefest banquet. The audio isn't perfect as it was an impromptu recording, so if you have any trouble, please try using headphones. It's a fantastic speech all about Perry. Please enjoy.
About 370 years ago, give or take. And at the time, find a description from John Beale, who's kind of father of British pomology and was therefore playing the game himself. His point was that our hungry swine will not bite into these pears. Now, what sensible person sees a pig spit out or refuse to eat these horrible, inedible, painfully astringent fruit? And thinks, there might be something here. But a pyramid of things. Oh, now, hear me out. What have we fermented them? And not from the nice tasting pears over there. No, we shall use these minuscule little hate spheres that have just taken the roof off John's mouth, right? And we shall also use pears that we've decided to call choke pears, with the models described as having a harshness and an evil taste. Yes, very well. So we have our horrible tasting fruit. And incidentally, the Barland pear, this pig reject, is still being made into perry today. Yeah, I had one of Ross Unwise just the other day. But this is maybe the beginning of the idiocy for these fresh fruit grows on trees, which are also idiotic. I in a book which I've written about this unserious fruit. Sorry, I said not with any more quotes. And in ciderreview.com, which is kind of a repository for my stream of cider, perry scented conscience. I'm relentlessly guilty of purple rose perry pear trees. Because they're amazing, right? I mean, they can live for over 300 years. 300 years! You know, here in Herefordshire, there are trees dating back to the coronation of Queen Anne, and some potentially even further. And these are trees that grow 60 feet tall, you know, trees with 50-foot canopies. And so, of course, like a good literary writer, I sat at my laptop and mildly whittled away my rhapsody about grandeur and drama and general sundry amazingness. But this week I've been working and toiling at the Ross Unwise Cider and Perry Company. And I spent the first day harvesting those of the Henry Huffcat Perry Bear trees. And I take it all back. They're not grand or majestic or dramatic or major anything like that. They are stupid nonsense. A tree from which one must harvest has no business being 60 foot tall. A tree from which one must harvest has no business having thorns in it. A tree from which one must harvest simply should not be holding an entire ton of fruit. You know, that is plainly nonsense. And the trees agree with me on this point, because I've literally seen some of them break under the weight of pears that are ill advised they attempt to prepare. You know, yellow huffcat pears rot from the inside out when they are still on the branch. Now, Moorcroft has a 24-hour window of ripeness in which you have to press it, otherwise it molts. You know, thorn not much longer. And these are not sensible plants. These aren't plants that you can do business with. They're an issue about this high, they're with a manageable amount of fruit that you can just go along and pick without having to wait for it to fall to the ground, where half of it rots or breaks, gets busted up by branches on the way down. You know, we can call them, I don't know, vines or something. Look, a pyramid can persevere, because, well, we're dead, aren't we? They take inedible fruit from these over-the-top pantomime trees, and they go and press it, and oh look, their press is all gummed up in about 2 minutes. You know, oh look, their pears have blotted so much they've turned your hydro press into a dirty protest. You know, oh look, you've been able to do about a quarter of the amount of pears today that you could have done cider because you've been ungumming the press the whole way through. Oh look, these pears are completely rock hard. Oh look, they've turned to mush. Perry distinctly dodgy reputation, although you're sitting here thinking, God, I've drunk a lot of Perry tonight. it's a grossly overhyped reputation. You know, one thing for Rotten Tree, you're absolutely fine. But anyway, yeah, you're alright, you're in trouble a lot. Anyway, so you do all that. We go through heartache and ground teeth and challenges beyond any drink I've ever come across, and between ourselves I've come across most of them. And you've made a Perry, and it turns out barely anyone's ever heard of Perry anyway, and the people who don't assume you've just made baby sham are asking, is that like Parasite? I'm really. There's only one justification for all this obvious nonsense. And I've never heard it ever expressed, but Tom Oliver, when I interviewed him a few years ago, is one of my favourite quotes about Perry. I use it in the book, I use it ad nauseam in articles, and I'm going to repeat it again here today. And it goes, it's that drink, honestly. Your cider's great, and I drink far more cider than Perry. But if I want to show off to somebody, it's usually a Perry I go to. If it didn't make a great drink, we would stop making Perry tomorrow. It's too demanding, it takes too much to fit in with apples. Making cider is a piece of cake compared to making Perry. But it's that drink. And it is. It is that drink. It's that rare and special and marvellous and magical drink. Now, everyone sitting here tonight is immensely, immensely lucky. You're all privy to one of the best kept and most wonderful secrets in the whole world of drinks. In the year 2023, there are three places in the world where enough Perry is made that you can really class them as a Perry region. Three in the world. There's Domfront in Normandy, and there's the Mostert, the Lower Austria, and if you love Perry, you get the chance, I really recommend you visit both the third sphere and the three counties in Monmouthshire. For the overwhelming part, today we're talking here in Herefordshire. If Herefordshire didn't exist, and I've said this with a bit of a deep breath, the modern British side of the UK, it would be a massive hole, of course, and it's the world's biggest producer, a huge producer of the size, and many, arguably most of the best producers in the UK, well, saying that, maybe it's maybe from some sale devil here. But it could cope. We know there are other big, substantial cider cultures in the UK, Somerset, Devon, Kent, Wales, East Anglia, and increasing places of cider. But if Herefordshire didn't exist, modern British Perry couldn't really exist either. We're doing a slight disservice to Gloucestershire there. Perhaps an end of Gloucestershire's history with Perry and with pears is so ingrained that we've got pears in the press. There are certainly brilliant makers in both counties, and Gloucestershire in particular has phenomenal Perry pear orchards, or national Perry pear collection. It's home to Maydale itself, as well as people like Jim Chapman, Gabe Cook, and Charles Martel, and some of the drink's foremost champions in the last few decades. But in terms of the energy of modern Perry, in terms of the most makers, the best makers, you know, the drive for Perry to get its win, to have its moment, be seen as its own drink, this is the place. Herefordshire, the modern heart of British Perry without any shadow of a doubt, just as it has been for hundreds of years. And it's no surprise that the impetus for yesterday's first ever Perry Day came from Herefordshire, or that it overwhelmingly, and actually now I think that perhaps exclusively featured Herefordshire makers. You know, as more and more people have discovered Perry over the last 5 years or so, born buoyed by the Rethink Cider movement, which Suzanne started. And it's generally been Herefordshire makers, like Ross and Y, Little Pomona, Oliver's, Greg's Pit, Bartistry, Coombe Maddock, Newcombe Court, that they found first. And it is those Herefordshire makers that have been the inspiration for Perry makers outside the three counties to make Perry for themselves, and to graft Perry pear trees. In places like Somerset and Lancashire, East Anglia, Scotland, and then across the seas, places like Australia, America, even New Zealand. You know, the world is seeing this quiet Perry Renaissance, and make no mistake, it's being driven in no small part by some of the people who are in this room today. And the breadth of Perry in Herefordshire alone is unparalleled anywhere in the world. And Perry has been made as well in France and Austria, but you simply cannot find the range of flavours and textures and styles and approaches there that can in a small county in the West Midlands. And there are pear varieties that taste of soft fruits and flowers. They're zingy, zesty, super citrusy perries. Perries that are massive mouthfuls of tropically fruits. And there are perries that don't necessarily taste of any particular fruit at all, but evoke woodland walks and riversides and are minerally and earthy and just packed full of soul. Now, at Ross on Wild, you can taste, I don't even know, how many single varieties did you pour out? I think we tasted through eight of them the other day. You know, they're all totally different. You know, they've got three different bottlings imminent of Thorn Pear alone from different vintages and orchards. And you know what? Everyone is different again. It's totally of its speaking with pairs, its trees, its places, its vintage. And then you go to the moment, and the still pairing is this traditional method pairing, champagne method pairing. This traditional method pairing with Downton, because why on earth not? You know, there's Pet Nat Perry, there's Perry Kim, there's Perry with sour cherries that kind of taste like Lambrusco, and it genuinely does. And then you've got Tom in his barrel brew series, his rolling blend, his peerless Keith Perry. And our crew magic doing single varieties again, but in this detailed and delicate way, it's totally different to the way that Ross or Bartistry or anyone else is going about it. You know, then there's Ice Perry, the wonder made by one on a tree. It's a really sweet dessert style that you drink the same way, someone like the same time. You know, as far as I know, no one's currently making fortified perry in Herefordshire or Mistel, which is juice mixed with spirit, but I know some people are distilling perry now, so I live in it. Perry, anyway, has always been really shy. It's always been kind of side picked aside, always hidden away a little. But right now, to me, Herefordshire perry seems as it's starting to gain a little bit of that confidence. When I was there, the perry is being made, and it's better and more innovative, more flavorful than ever. I was there, and the perry tastings we see, both in Herefordshire and by Herefordshire makers who've taken that perry outside of the county. And of course, it's there, in fact, it's perry that's brought us all here. See, perry isn't without its challenges. Besides the sort of those I was talking about maybe a little glibly at the start, there are challenges like firelight, which is a really serious, incurable bacterial disease that's wreaking havoc in young orchards at the moment. You know, there's still the challenge of getting perry in front of people, in front of new audiences, or audiences who primarily live a long way away from where the spring's made and perhaps haven't ever heard about it, much less know anything about it. Now, we still need more makers. We still need to keep pushing the incredible work that people like the Three Counties Cider and Perry Association are doing. With things like CraftCon and events like yesterday, Perry did it. So we've got Al and Lydia and Susanna and David to thank for. We need to tell Perry's incredible stories. You know, stories like these trees, these amazingly idiotically amazing trees that have been harvested for 100, 200, maybe even 300 years. I mean, the planting of the Queen Anne coronation trees at Helen's Manor in Monmouth was closer to the start of the Wars of the Roses than it is to today. You know, that is mind-blowing. And to be harvested more or less every year, about biennialism, all the way through that, there's just nothing like it. And so we need to tell those stories. You know, we need to talk about the pears, about all their unique and precious varieties, and the different flavours and textures each one brings. And we need to share all of this that we've just been sharing here today. And we need to reach out internationally. You know, there are incredible perry cultures in France and in Austria, and they're facing the same challenges that perry is here. You know, we need to meet them and exchange knowledge and create this international chorus of perry advocacy that can be led by some of the makers and some of the advocates in this room. Because perry isn't invulnerable. It is possible for perry culture to just completely disappear. Okay? If you look at a map of Europe, you can draw a band from here to the far side of Austria, maybe a little bit further, along which perry was consistently growing for centuries. And places like Luxembourg, today there's only one producer still making, or Switzerland, which probably had the world's greatest perry culture 150 years ago. Cut down 11 million fruit trees in 25 years, and now virtually no perry at all. You know, or southern Germany, where it was a central part of rural culture, just as it was here, and in France, and in Austria, and in so many places behind, besides, where it's just drifted away now, always completely from existence. Now, it's astonishingly special that perry has endured here in Herefordshire. And it really must be taken for granted. You know, it has been kept alive by a handful of inspiring, dedicated, brave, determined, optimistic, creative people. And yeah, there might be a pillar streak that you see in there as well. But it's been kept alive by other people who knew just how wonderful perry can be, how flavorful, how elegant, how marvelous with food, you know, how distinctive and special and rare and precious it is. says, it is that drink. It is that drink. If tonight represents anything, it is a vote of confidence in Herefordshire Pair, in this secret, precious, vulnerable jewel in the crown of British Street. And it's travelled a long, long way to reach tonight. And it was never guaranteed it would, and the road, as I say, has been rocky. But it's arrived on us. Speaking to you all tonight, seeing the amazing Pair events that this year's Apple Fest has put on, tasting the incredible pairings that have been provided for it, it really feels like it's about summer. So thank you for that, and thank you to all of you who drink and make and love pairing, and thank you so much for having me here listening to me today. Cheers to pairing.